Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is your brother, Fawn Miller, and we're delighted to share with you the good word of God. I direct a minister here, speaker on the Message of Truth program, and we trust that we are meeting a need in your heart and life. If we can be a spiritual help to you, we'll give you the address by email. We'll also try to have time to give you the address by hard mail, and we invite you to write to us. We'd love to try to help you in any kind of thing spiritually, or if the program's been a blessing, you just want to share that blessing. We'd love to have you do that. But first, let's look to the Lord in prayer, then to the Word of God. Father, we so much appreciate the fact that we have the Word of God that helps us not only to point us to salvation, but then after salvation to help us to grow and be nurtured in Thee. I pray you'll take the Word of God and you'll meet whatever need is represented by our listening audience. Help us to share the Word of God in such a clear, concise way that they will come to know Thee, they will grow in the grace and knowledge of Thee, and they will be encouraged to go out and share their faith with others. Thank you for the results that you'll bring today. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's no one He came to save, no one that He forgave any more than He did you. Are you tired and weary? No peace within? Searched the world over, can't find a friend. Weary, heartsick and seems there's no one in the world that loves you. There's nobody in the world that the Lord loves any more than He loves you. There's no one He came to save, no one that He forgave any more. And He did you. Have you tried, and it all seems in vain? Everything hopeless, nothing to gain. If you look up, there's help, my friend. Jesus will save you. He'll give you peace within. There's nobody in the world that the Lord loves any more than He loves you. There's no one He came to save, no one that He forgave any more than He did you. There's no one He came to save, no one that He forgave any more than He did you.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what a song that is. That's a blessing. He loves all of us. He loved you with an everlasting love. To get you to come to Christ and be saved, John 3:16. But then He loves you just as He loves me and wants us to serve Him. And, boy, I'll tell you what, that's a tremendous message. That ought to be a real help to your heart. Now, in Mark 16 and verse 7, our Lord told those who came there, Mary Magdalene in particular, said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter that I have risen from the dead." And I think that is such a touching and tender portion of Scripture that's in Mark 16 and 7, that Jesus Christ made sure that Peter would know that He had risen from the dead. And know that Jesus Christ loved him with an everlasting love. What a verse of scripture. So when he's come to Peter here in John chapter 21, and he's asking him, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? This is not in any way an attempt of Christ to belittle Peter or to humiliate him, but rather it is here in 21 just to establish that love, that relationship. Jesus knew that Peter loved him, and he knows if you love him or if you don't. You remember what he said to the church at Ephesus over in Revelation chapter 2? He tells them about their works, and he says, I know thy works. I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Now, here was a church that stood against compromise, stood against apostate teaching. They knew what the Word of God said. They knew how to handle the Word of God. And it became such a normal routine for them. They were going to stand upon this, the Word of God. And they lost their heart for the God of the Word. And he said, you've left your first love. It wasn't that they were no longer saved. It wasn't that they no longer believed the Bible. It wasn't no longer that they believed the Holy Spirit indwelt them. But they knew these were the things to do, so we'll just go ahead and do it. You see, my friend, you can do a lot of things for the Lord. You can be out there. We've got a fellow in our church, and I make mention of our church, and there's individuals there. We've got a fellow there that lost an arm many years ago, and he's getting up there in years. But you'll watch him out there, and he guides people to make the, to manicure the place, if you please. Work over the flower beds, get the leaves out, get the grass out. And it's just interesting to watch him. He can't get and do those things, but he has people who just, men are not real far under his age. They're working there with him, and then younger people and his own daughter and so forth. But I bring that out to say this. There may be times that you cannot do what you did before. The difference is, what's the heart? When you were able to do, and I was able to do, you worked at 90 mile an hour and just didn't seem to slow down at all. Now, you did it for the Lord. You weren't trying to be looked at and say, oh, isn't so-and-so wonderful. You get out there and you work for the Lord. But not today. You know how to do that. Are you doing that simply because, well, it needs to be done. If I don't do it, somebody will gripe and grumble and complain. Or do you do it for the Lord? I think, old Brother Russ, I'll tell you what. You know he's doing it for the Lord. Just watch him. Just take a look at him while he's out there. He can't do near what he did before, but he still is there to encourage and to strengthen the people that are doing the job. He's just faithful. And yes, he manifests that love that he has for the Lord. You know what the question, does he love the Lord? Well, Jesus is bringing Peter back to this center. And we need to understand this. I'm not worried. You know, a lot of people are critical of Peter. He jumped out of the boat and went to walk to the Lord. Hey, he took his eyes off the Lord. I didn't see one other disciple from the scriptures anyway that got out of that boat to walk to Jesus. Did you? No. If you're really Jesus Christ, I'm going to get out of this boat. Hey, what would it have been if it hadn't been Jesus? You know what Peter knew? He knew the option. I'm going to sink. But I'm going to walk to him. And I guarantee you, he walked far enough out that he couldn't reach back to the boat. And he took his eyes. Yes, he looked at the waves. They were boisterous. But at least he made that effort. You know, you criticize him. He opened mouth, inserted foot. But in Matthew 16, when he declared, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, to this all the rest of the disciples agreed, but they didn't open their mouths ahead of time. Peter did a lot of that. And Jesus is taking him aside now and saying, hey, I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to stop. You might think a little bit before you talk, but I want you to declare your faith in me. And believe me, he did it. Go ahead and read the chapters there, Acts chapter 2 all the way up through, and particularly chapter 9. where he talks with Cornelius. But Peter is prominent, and then he's in various other areas. He didn't stop there. But the point is that Peter went out and determined before the Sanhedrin, whether we obey you or God, you determine that. We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We're going to declare Jesus Christ. We're not going to preach in any other name. He took that stand, that firm stand. And I like Peter. I like him. I wish I could emulate him far more. I emulate too many of the bad things, maybe, of him. But the Lord is getting Peter to think about his life. And so he says, you love me more than these, whatever those these are. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. The Lord knew that. The Lord knew that Peter loved him. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. That's a rather interesting statement. Lambs take a lot of nurturing. You watch lambs being even on our farms today. I've got a good friend. He has probably one of the largest flocks of sheep in eastern Pennsylvania, maybe across Pennsylvania. He's got a large flock. And there are times he has those lambs that he has to take a bottle, and feed them because they're not getting the milk from their mom. Or he has to nurture them with the shots to keep ward off some kind of a disease or anything. So he's saying, Peter, in your firm stand for me, understand I want you feeding the lambs. That's going to take some tenderness. So Peter had to learn that. Peter had to learn the tenderness. But Jesus is saying, listen, that's part of this loving me. Have tenderness for people. At times, lambs might be, as we think of lambs as people who are saved. The lambs are going to be those, they might be 80 years old, but they just became a lamb. They just became a child of God. They're going to need nurtured. They're going to need help. They're going to need encouragement. And so he says to Peter, feed my lambs. Well, I wish we had time to just dwell on this longer, but we're talking about the love of God. This is the biblical way to handle love. Now we got to nurture these lambs. Bring them along. There was an old preacher one time. He said, you know what? He said, what we need to learn to do is put the cookies on the bottom shelf so the kids can get them. He was talking about preaching. Some of us are so technical in our preaching. I'm not me. I wouldn't know how to be technical if I tried, I don't think. But very simply, we need to get that down there where people can get the cookies, so to speak. Put them on the lower shelf. I thought the one commercial one time on TV, commercials can be funny, but this was kind of cute. A dad and a kid were eating Oreo cookies and milk. And the little boy slopped some milk on the counter. And he looked up at dad like, I'm going to get yelled at. You know what dad did? He dropped his cookie and his milk and spilled it on the counter. And then they laughed together. Well, sometimes maybe we have to spill some milk on the counter. And just let the lamb know that, hey, we understand. We've been there. We've gone through that. I haven't always been mature, if I even am mature. All right. Notice in second time, in John 21:16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, this is, a tender thing. Read Psalms 23. I don't have time to go there and deal with that. But basically what we're looking at is that you take that sheep and you lead that sheep to green pastures. You lead them to the still water. Not only do you have to nurture the lamb, but you're going to have to take time with the sheep, getting them to the right place, getting them to where they need to be, that they'll be as protected as possible. And then he says, and by the way, that is what love for God biblically does. It takes people where they're at and tries to build them up and lead them in some way to mature in the Lord. Look at verse 17. And by the way, I might interject here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Grow in the grace. That's what Jesus is telling him right here. He's carried that over into his epistle that Jesus showed him that lesson of growing. Lambs to sheep, young sheep, sheep that are maturing. Then he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Now, I know a lot of people have preached sermons that this was because he denied him three times. It could be. The point is, he asked him to really jog his mind and his heart. Do you really love me? Because you're going to have a challenge in your before you, and you're going to have to go back to this day to know, hey, you know what? I really do love the Lord, and if it means persecution, which he faced much of, I'm going to take it. Because I really, really, really love the Lord. And he says, and he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. I believe there were tears in old Peter's eyes right here. Because he was humbled. Jesus would ask him this question. And I don't believe Jesus did this in front of the other disciples. The other disciples didn't have any idea what was going on here. Because Jesus was taking personal time with Peter. You know, he wants to take personal time with us to cultivate that love. Now, the way he does that is in his word and through prayer. Taking that word of God and maybe even praying some scripture to God. He already knows these scriptures. I know that. But, you know, he loves to hear his children parrot those scriptures to him. Scriptures that mean something in our lives. Scriptures that encourage us in the Lord. And Jesus will say again, feed my sheep. Now, these are the mature sheep. These are the daddies and mommies who are real, good, solid sheep. They need fed. You know, it's too often we have fed. I like the illustration of what somebody said one day. He said, you know what? I think too many of my sermons have been cat food and they haven't been meat. And, you know, that may be well true. How tragic it is. God wants you and me to feed the lambs, feed the young sheep, nurture them, help them to grow. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I enjoyed farming, but I will talk about that. But let's have a song right now, refresh our hearts, and then back to this matter of loving the Lord.
Out on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone.
Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross.
suffered it all.
Praise the Lord, because he loved us. He suffered it all. Well, you know, that's what the Lord Jesus is doing with Peter right here in John 21. And how wonderful it is to note the compassion in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's there. I think as you read that, you see the Lord concerned that Peter is not lost by the wayside. So many times we kind of let people go by the wayside when we could go and nurture them and help them and strengthen them and help them see that it isn't all over. It isn't done. You know, you and I, too many times, I think, are ready to wipe out people in the sense of forgetting them and just going to somebody else. I think we ought to take a lesson from here that this one disciple, now then, nothing could be done for Judas. He had already gone and he had sold out the Lord, and he would not repent. But here was Peter, who needed the love and nurturing of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, and it was so. And when I read that Mark says that the Lord told Mary, "You go and tell my disciples and Peter." The compassion there, I believe Mark is relating exactly what Peter told him as he helped him get over that hurdle of failing on that first missionary journey. You know, the failing of somebody, I heard this one time said about a quarterback and a receiver. When a receiver is basically getting integrated into the program, and he's thrown a pass, and it's rather, you know, it hits him at the wrong place in his hands, and he grabs it to his chest, but he drops the ball. They said many, many times, most often, that quarterback, if he's real savvy, in another one or two plays, he's going right back to that same receiver. Why? He wants to build the confidence in him that you can drop a ball, but you can catch one too. And how interesting that is. That is discipling. Now, that's discipling in a little different way we're talking about here with Jesus and Peter. But, beloved, we need to realize that people need our love and our encouragement. We don't have enough of workers out here. So those workers who have struggled, those workers who have dropped the ball, we need to get them that ball and say, go for it again. Go for it again. And, you know, I heard a story told of a guy who was driving down the street. And he said he did it. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to take his word for it. And he saw these two kids fighting. I mean, they were throwing fists. Of course, you wouldn't be allowed to do that today. But you just listen to the story, okay? I mean, this is what he said. He said it really happened. He said, I stopped the car and I got out. And I watched. And this one kid was pretty big and the other was rather small. And they were fighting. And the little kid was getting knocked down every time he'd stand up. So finally, he said, the kid got knocked down several times. And I got feeling bad for him. I went over and I tried to get between the brute and the kid. And he said, I said, son, are you okay? Can I help you here? He said, no. He said, I'm about to get my wind. He said, I'll be all right. And I mean, he was getting hurt. He said, that kid got up and all of a sudden wailed on that big kid, started punching him, started hitting him. He said, knocked him down on the ground, and the guy was crying because he'd gotten beat. He said, I took that little kid over and got him some ice cream. He said, he had no quit in him. He went out and did it. Now, I'm not advocating that. Now, don't get me wrong. And I, some of you write me letters and all that. Don't bother doing it. But the point was this. He was not going to quit. And there's so many people that are quitting. You know, I realize you read numerous times in the Bible, quit you like men be strong. It doesn't mean quit. It means stand up, fight, be brave, go out and do the job. Don't give up. Now, you go over to the book of Daniel for a moment, and several things that stood out here to me. In Daniel chapter 9, this is, of course, the vision of the 70 weeks, but we're not going to that part. I want you to go down here to verse 3. He said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession unto the Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him." This is what God does. He keeps his covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. Beloved, you see, if I'm going to love God properly, love the Lord Jesus Christ biblically, I am going to have to, first of all, know his word. Daniel said, listen, he was speaking with the Lord. He had set his face toward the Lord who does keep his covenants, who does do great and wonderful things, and the one who loves us without question. My friend, God loves you with all he has, his son. He gave his son that he might die for your sin. And so he's gave you a free plan of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then you can begin to love him. And as you show your love and demonstrate your love to him, he nurtures you, he helps you, he strengthens you. Ultimately, brings you into that place of victory as the servant of the living God. Do you love the Lord? Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And we're not talking about people. We're talking about the things and the frills of this world. Do you really, really, really love me? If you do, are you willing to serve him? That'll demonstrate your love for him. God bless you, my friend. Write us if we may be of help to you at WOTBM.org. God bless you.